Every once in a while, things just get weird around here. I don't know why.
It's a sound system thing, I tell you.
It's got to be. All right, you all set?
I am.
All right. Welcome to the Golden Strip Soundcast, the official podcast of the Golden Strip School of Music. Well, we have finally got ourselves a new teacher, and it is time for her to introduce herself. Go ahead, new teacher. Tell us all about you.
Hi, my name is Ruth McDaniel. I am teaching voice and piano here at Golden Strip on Thursdays, and I'm glad to be aboard.
Tell us all about your musical background.
Oh, my goodness. I've been in music since I was a little kid. I started taking piano when I was 8. I was playing for church by the time I was 12. I was also singing for church by the time I was 12. I almost majored as a pianist, but I decided I wanted to sing. So I went to Converse, got my bachelor's and music ed, and I have a Kodai background, so I use that in my lessons and approach as well. I've done musical theater. I still do musical theater, opera. I've done everything except punk rock and hard country.
So when's the punk rock coming up?
Let me learn one.
Okay. There you go. I got to tell everybody how we got you to teach here.
Okay.
One day my phone rang and this woman, Ruth McDaniel, said, "Hey, you have a student that wants a keytar?" And I was like, I hadn't heard that word since I was a kid in the 80s. And so I was like, yeah, sure. So she came in and I started showing her around and I was able to talk her into coming and working here at least one day a week.
It was so, I love this facility and everybody's just great here.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Ruth did a very special thing for one of our students. We have a student that has always wanted to, I say always, she's only 8, she's always wanted to play the harp. Well, it just so happens that Ruth has a harp and is able to get her stomach going and has let her use her personal harp to take a lesson and make sure she likes it. And that was so cool. That little girl was smiling.
She was ready, man. She was like, she's been waiting. And the way she approached it and her focus, it was just a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, she's been waiting, and I didn't think I'd ever find anybody to do it. And then along comes Ruth. See, it was meant to be. Okay, so now this is like the questions I ask all my teachers in these podcasts. What is your approach to teaching?
Oh, my goodness. My first thing I need to do is to see where my student is. I want to see what my student is interested in, but I also know that there's a certain amount of technique that needs to be done. There's a certain amount of repertory that everybody needs to know. And I draw from my classical background for a lot of that. But, you know, I sang a lot of 1970s pop. And I learned a lot doing that I did not learn from teachers. They're just now really doing that on a huge scale now. It was hard to find someone who could teach that.
Right.
And I'm really revisiting a lot of that because those were some great songs and they did some beautiful things for the voice. So I want to see what's, you know, and if you're an instrumentalist, because I was a pianist and I love to play and I, oh my goodness. So I want them to be able to reach their potential. I want to hear who they are. Whether it's their piano or their harp or their singing voice, they've got somebody in there that needs to come out and share.
You don't need to name names, but have you ever had a voice student come in that was just so bad you were just like, I don't know if I could ever get through this?
No, but I'll tell you, I had a church choir years ago, one of the loveliest men you will ever, ever know, and he was just tone deaf, bass, tone deaf, growling, but he had the most beautiful heart, and he wanted to be in that choir so bad, so we just pulled off to the side, and I got him to the point where he could hold pitch, and that was huge.
I bet it is. That you wouldn't even get me to hold pitch. There's no way. I don't think anybody could ever do
bucket,
it to me.
You can hold the bucket. Okay.
If I had the bucket, I'd be like, "Dear Liza, there's a hole in the bucket." What's your favorite thing about teaching?
I don't know. I think it's probably one of two things. One, sharing songs that kids may not have known existed. I love Billy Joel and Elton John and Sting. We were just doing a Sting song a minute ago with some George Harrison in between, and it was nice. Awesome. So to see them go, oh, well, that's kind of cool. I kind of like that. You know, they may not have been exposed to it. The other thing is just seeing that light bulb go off. I have if you wanted to sing something in French or sing something in Italian or German, and you don't know where to start, and I give you the tools to do it, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, you bite it off a little bit at a time, and you're doing it, you know?
Yeah, I could see singing in French and Italian because of the opera aspect of it, but German?
We had to learn all of it, yes.
Really?
And, I was teaching down at Newberry for a couple of years, and I got to teach diction. And so I had to use the International Phonetic Alphabet. That's IPA, International Phonetic Alphabet, not pale ale things, okay? So so if you know what the sound is, you can break it down and figure it out. I had to learn a song for a dear friend of mine who was getting married, and she wanted a song by Klanek. And it was used in the Last of the Mohicans soundtrack, and it's Irish, it's Celtic Irish.
Right.
And you look at the word, and the word is a foot long, and you only have like three or four sounds in there. So I literally had to go through and figure it out in IPA. You can do that with anything.
Oh, really?
It's cool. It's really cool.
I've had zero exposure to the IPA. That kind of IPA.
Yeah.
I have plenty of exposure to the other kind.
I have no knowledge. I'm terrible with the other one. Yes.
I'm not a fan of this stuff, but it seems everywhere you go.
It's there.
Your friends have it. I'm like, all right,
yes.
It's better than nothing.
It's the culture.
All right, so you said you started playing at 8, and by 12, you were playing piano and singing at your church.
At church, yes.
What was your inspiration for playing and singing?
You know, I went to a school that didn't really have music. And by the time I was, and my best friend lived 20 miles away. And there's no internet, people. This is before the internet. I'm that old. And so, and my parents would not allow me to call my best friend on the phone because we only had one phone in the house. And so, there was nothing else for me to do except go to the piano. And so I would do that. And my cousin was having a baby, and there was nobody else who wanted to play the piano. And I said I would play. And I love my pastor so much there. He's not there anymore. He's somewhere else. But he gave this little kid a chance. And when she played the part she knew, it was really fast. And when she played the part she didn't know, it slowed way down. And, you know, they didn't kick me off the bench. They let me be there. They let it be a safe space. And before
That's
too
great.
Long, I was singing, and I was doing Amy Grant songs, and I was doing all this other stuff. And I was at the piano and playing and singing at the same time with the microphone. And I'm like, ah. Oh. This is like the best thing ever, you know?
Right. That was your light bulb.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I'm going to go back to your teaching. We all, no matter what instrument, whether it's your voice, the piano, the guitar, the drums, whatever, students get frustrated. How do you deal with a student that's just frustrated and throwing their hands up?
You kind of have to gingerly figure out if you can get them to tell you what they're frustrated about, because they might be covering. And, you know, I'm all about let's break it down. Let's find out what we're doing well today and get that in really good and solid. And then let's approach this other thing. What can we do to make it better? Because sometimes I haven't really had this happen to me much. Sometimes people, they're just going to, they don't feel like they can get it. And if they can't get it right the first time, they just get really frustrated. And I'm like, you know, that's not how Fred Astaire learned how to dance, you know.
That's a good analogy.
He right? wore out 300 pairs of shoes a year.
Wow. I didn't know that.
At his prime.
Holy cow.
Prime. So, you know, that's it. Just you just get in there and work through a little bit at a time.
I like that. Speaking of Fred Astaire, have you ever worked with any famous people? I mean, it sounds like you've done a ton of stuff. Or even just famous in your circles.
Oh, well, I've been very lucky. Name dropping, I'm terrible at. but, you know, I was in the first music class, I guess you'd call it, of Governor School. And
oh, really?
Yes. It was a summer program, 6 weeks long. And I felt like I had died and gone to heaven. And Kimberly Bryant was in my voice class. And for those of you who do not know Kimberly, she is, she's back in town. She has made quite a career for herself, and she spent many years on stage all over the world in Phantom of the Opera. She's a wonderful person. And there's so many other people that I've been able to sing behind. I can't remember his name right now, but I got to sing in a big band once that was being directed by Bob Hope's music director.
Wow.
He had retired and come to Hilton Head, and they were out singing, and I noticed they did not have a singer that night. I'm like, hey, I know Night and Day by Cole Porter. Do you guys know it? And they're like, come on in. I happened to know one of the players, and they said, yeah, it's okay. Come on over. So that was just awesome.
Very cool. And speaking of players and stuff, I can't tell you how excited Sean and Kevin were when they heard you were coming.
Oh, my gosh. I just love those guys. I got to start work. I've worked with them on two different shows over at Spartanburg Little Theater. And just top notch. I'm just tickled that I'm here.
Well, we're glad you're here. What's the first lesson like with Miss Ruth? What you can pick any instrument or voice or whatever you want to talk about. But the first lesson, what's it like when the student comes in?
When they come in after we say hello, and yes, you can call me Miss Ruth instead of Mrs. McDaniel. You know, let's get that out of the way. I want to know. I ask them questions like, "What do you want to do? What do you want to learn? And this is what I can teach you." And we do a lot of with solfege. Everybody's seen Sound of Music. Everybody knows the song Do Re Mi. And I literally break things down. I put it into stick notation. This is the rhythm. This is the solfege. I used to be horrible at rhythm when I was a student. I was horrible at it. And then I went to school, and I had to learn how to teach other people to be good at it. And boy, I got good at it.
I was going to say, that must really affect your rhythm.
Man, I'm telling you. So it was... But I do that so that they can see it, and it's accessible to them. You know, it's not a big mystery. Some people have boatloads of talent. Some people have to work a lot harder. But even the people who have boatloads of talent have to work at it,
right,
to make sure that they stay on a certain level.
Absolutely, that's that thing. You know, if you took the world's greatest guitarist and the world's greatest tennis player and you made them switch.
Oh, gosh.
Would they be? Probably not. But what's one thing you want parents to know? They're bringing their kid here to you. What do you want them to know about learning music?
Learning music. Music has made such a difference in my life. My dad would drive me 1 hour each way for 6 years just to get lessons because there was no place to go when
Wow.
I was growing up. And it vastly changed my life. I was, you know, I come from an area where, you know, you can make a living as a musician. Really? No, you can't do that. I'm sorry. You can't be done. But it can be done. And if you don't want it to be a career, it doesn't have to be. Do you just want to learn how to sing some songs that you've always loved? That's big. Have you forgotten how to play the piano because you hated it when you were a kid?
Exactly.
Now you wish you had played. You know, there's a hole in your heart about it. Get out there and do it. I want my parents to know that their kids are there to be a better part of themselves or to find a part of themselves that maybe they didn't realize was there. I've already met two kids since I've gotten here. They already have a fire in them. And that's excellent. Just exciting. So
it makes it worth it.
Yes, it does.
And I got to say, your greeting out in the reception area is probably one of the best with the kids.
Aww.
Because you can hear the excitement in your voice that they're here.
Oh, I'm so happy to see them. I look forward to it.
Yep. Well, it shows when you're out there greeting them.
Oh, thanks.
It's like a pro class for me because I'm just like, hey, how you doing? And I go back to what I'm doing. What are your thoughts on practice? What do you tell your students about practicing?
Oh, goodness. So beginning pianists, there's not much to take home in the very beginning, but, 10 minutes, just every day, or 5 minutes here and come back in 5 minutes.
Right.
Some more. Don't stay there because you have to, but you kind of do as you get older and you're getting more developed. With singers, you shouldn't sing more than 30 minutes at a time when you're first starting out.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it will really work on the voice. So you've got to protect it. That's part of learning voice, is how to find yourself, but also how to protect it so you can still use it because... You're the only you've got. You're the only one who
right.
sounds like that.
It's your instrument. It's not like a guitar. If it wears out, you have to go buy new strings.
Yeah.
You can't, unless you're getting vocal surgery, which you hear about these singers all the time. And I just have a feeling it's that they're not singing correctly.
They're not.
And that's what causes their throat problems.
Yeah. And that's, there's so much pressure on singers in general right now to sound a certain way. And, I worked with somebody a couple of years ago, really cool sounds and colors coming out in her voice, but that's not what she wanted because that's not what pop music was at that point.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's almost like if you could hear a faded photograph instead of hearing Technicolor,
That's a good example of Technicolor because I know I had a teacher in the past that during the ear training part, he's like, yeah, think of the notes as colors.
Yeah.
And it still didn't help me. I'm still still stone deaf.
Oh, goodness. There's always hope. There's always hope.
Yes, let's hope so. So before we take off, anything that I didn't cover that you wanted to talk about that you were thinking about today? Like, oh, I'll make sure I tell them this or...
I don't know. I mean, this is honestly my first actual interview. This is awesome. I didn't come in with anything in particular. So, no, just come on down to Golden Strip. Check us out.
I like that. And, it's not just for kids.
No.
We've got students that are in their 80s around here. So it's never too late. If you want to learn to sing, if you want to learn to play the piano, it's never too late. You just come on down here. We'll get you signed up.
It's awesome.
And
I
have
love
some
the
fun.
Variety of things going on here, the possibilities of collaboration maybe at some point.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the things I try to get us to do during our big outdoor recitals because then we get our bass teacher to come out and he'll sing with the kids or he'll play bass with them.
Oh, that's cool.
Either Kevin will man the kit or one of his advanced students will.
Yeah.
So we try to mix it up. And I'm hoping one of these days to get all the teachers together and get all you guys to perform one thing together.
Well, count me in. I'll do it.
I figured you would. Preaching to the choir right there. All right. Well, that's it. See how easy it was?
That was easy. Thanks,
yes.
Dave.
Hey, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Thank you for being here teaching. We love having you here.
I love Golden Strip. This is a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Well, you've been listening to the Golden Strip Soundcast, the official podcast of the Golden Strip School of Music.